Back in the mid-2010s, I started hearing about the transition to a digital-first world. Yeah, there was kind of this belief by owners of TV and radio stations that new riches could be found by just leaning into social media, the web, and yes, of course, podcasting. They would save the day as broadcast profits started to decline. The answer was simple. Mainstream media could be the leader in an age of digital content. But of course, we all know that did not happen. Those same companies still struggle to hit revenue targets. Stock prices have dropped, listenership has dropped, and hopes for stable employment most certainly have dropped. But why? My next guest is a former program director at CJOB Winnipeg, a seasoned broadcaster with experience as an announcer, music director, and people leader. Now he's one of the country's foremost experts in podcasting. We chat with the Sound Off Media Company owner and the host of the successful and long-running Sound Off podcast, Matt Kundle.
Broadcast Chronicles, revealing the most surprising, compelling, and even shocking stories behind some true characters from the other side of the microphone. Here's Bruce Claggett.
To understand his vision for podcasting, let's go back to 2014, a time when Matt Kundle's days at CJOB came to an end with, as they say, luck in his future endeavors. Matt, let's start right there. What happened?
I think you got to roll it back a year or two when social media starts to get really, really serious. It hits its seventh year. Everything good happens in around year seven. And that's what happened with social media. And I started to create a number of, flags for the corporate people above me. And I said, we're losing space and we're going to need to make some changes here with how we deliver our audio product. And it's kind of fallen on deaf ears in the podcast world. And shortly thereafter, I was transitioned out after probably spending too much time worrying about social media and not necessarily the on-air product, but really looking for ways to either marry the two together or to find ways to keep listeners engaged.
I find with corporate media, they hang on to something. They come to the party late and they stay too long. And when they find any sort of change, they really don't know how to adapt. And that kind of, to me, is a little bit different than some of the entrepreneurial small operators or even people that start off as themselves.
Actually, I found in radio, going back to the creation of Facebook, I heard stories of companies, hey, should we put the radio station up on Facebook? It's like, no, we're working on our own Facebook.
So, okay.
So yeah, I've heard a lot of pushback. There was pushback. I remember at CJOB, which is a news organization, a news radio station, yeah, when I said, Twitter, I said, well, we don't need that. I said, well, I'm going to make you a Twitter account anyway. So, when I look at just having to get things started, it can take forever. I think everyone's very hell bent on the 30s and the 60s that they're selling. They love top of the hour news and radio. They become very married. And even when it comes to ideas and promotions, hey, we did that last year. It's going to work again this year.
Yeah.
Let's bring that back.
Or we did it in that one market. It's going to work in all the markets. Why is that happening? What are they missing in legacy media that you see?
If you would like to know the answer to anything strange that legacy media does, you just have to follow the money. And by that, I mean the corporate money. And corporations need returns every quarter. And something like podcasting is not going to deliver you a return in a quarter. It takes 3 years to build an audience. And that's an alarming thing for people to listen to. Even if you're starting a podcast, I have to do this for 3 years. So yeah, we do. We're going to have to work. But the thing is, radio and television are already doing that. Anything great that they've ever built takes a minimum of 3 years. Right. And why does it take 3 years? Because that's about 1,000 times, right? 365 days in a year. You multiply that by about 3 years. It's about 1,000 times. That's a habit. That's when the human will create a habit. So they do something about 1,000 times, then they become a habit. When did your radio station take off? Year three. When did your morning show take off? About year three. Right. First year, we're figuring it out. Second year, we're getting our voice. Third year, we're ramping it up. And radio just can't figure that out. Pretty much everything I've learned how to be a successful podcaster has come from the things radio has taught me. But radio is no longer practicing those things that have made them great over the years. It's come down to, well, we have to make budget this year. Oh, we've had a very low quarter. It's so short-term thinking. You will never get anything accomplished if you think in such short terms.
Digital first, but when they say digital first, I have found that it means digital right now. It's going to solve our problems, and I think that's what you're saying, and it really is kind of foolish. You know as well as I do, you live in this day-to-day with clients, but you need to build something before you even think about monetizing.
Absolutely. I think it was the hardest lesson I had to learn. I wanted something right away, and it took a few years to get my podcast business off the ground. It took a few years to get my podcast off the ground. The biggest year that I had was 3 years in. In my third year, we started to get some really, really big numbers. I was really one of the one of just a handful of radio and broadcast podcasts that was out there. And I had some of the biggest numbers ever, but it takes time to do this. And, you know, the digital thing that really scares broadcasters away are the dimes. Well, you know, we're not going to be able to do this by the end of the week, the end of the month. It's really not as much money. I think we'll just stick to doing the same thing over and over again and going for the sure thing. Well, if you keep going for the sure thing over and over again, you're going to get about the same thing and a little bit less every year, especially when you see like all the new ways that you could be listening to the radio. It could be on a smart speaker. It could be through Apple CarPlay. It could be any number of ways, right? Could be through a cell tower, all sorts of ways. But have you really incorporated it into what you're doing? No. So this is why we're seeing an erosion with radio.
An erosion with radio, but I would even say that it's an unnecessary erosion with radio. The business model has changed over the years. And podcasting's not doing that. The product, the content, really is important. And it's growing, and it's embracing something, I would say, as an observer coming in new to it, it's embracing something that says, yeah, it's got to be good because the competition is already there.
So it's always been about attention. Where is the listener's attention? And if it's on social media, yeah, you might have to be on social media. And then you might have to find a way to get their attention while you're on social media. And this is hard. And this is kind of why radio struggles, because we've really only known one way. And now all of a sudden, oh, now we have to incorporate a little bit of video into this. Maybe we're going to have to put in a little bit of production and time. And my favorite is, where is the ROI on that? I'm like, excuse me? Like, where's the ROI on doing this? I don't know, but we just sent the morning show down to the hospital to pass out teddy bears. Do you need the ROI on that? Or do we just know that it's the right thing to do? Right. So we have a very difficult time, especially if you're a program director in one of these places, trying to get past yourself, creating problems. I mean, so often program directors would create problems for themselves instead of like maybe leaning on the staff that you're constantly cutting back on coming up with the solutions to fix the problem. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more expensive, especially if you're going to have to delve into video.
If we go back to some of the skills you ended up picking up, but you take forward into your business now, those all came from radio. So congratulations, radio. You did a fantastic job. Program director, before that, you worked in audio production, worked behind the microphone, of course. Run me through some of that. What did you take in that's really helping you even today?
I think podcasters, one of the bigger mistakes they make, and I should clarify before I continue, is that when I look at podcasting for the last number of years, that's on-demand audio, okay? Yeah. And radio is live, local, and now, often, unless you want to move it over to podcast. So I think when I thought about radio and podcasting, they're not the same. They're different. One is on-demand, and the other one is live, local, and now. Podcasting actually has more in common with books and magazines and blogs than radio. The only thing that radio and podcast have in common is the microphone and the audio. So if we separate that out, now what? Okay, now let's get into some of the radio skills that we can move over to really make podcasting go. And podcasters mess this up all the time.
Okay.
And that's being consistent. Release your episode or whatever it is that you do at a particular time every day or every week or every month. Be consistent. The audience is consistent. They know when the weather and the news are going to be read on the radio. They know what time the morning show starts. You should see the number of talentless people on the radio who have built Hall of Fame careers based on showing up every day, right? They say it's 50%. It's probably worth 90% of the marks. Just being consistent. So when I got consistent with my podcast, I got 20% more listeners just because people knew exactly when it was coming out and I was built in to their media consumption diet. That's cool. We like that. Radio is really good at promoting, right? Creating promos, setting appointments, letting people know when, what, how, doing it in a short, concise way. Radio is really good at delivering a message. Or if you're a performer on the air, you know, it's be tight and be bright.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many podcasts that is not tight and bright. Talking about your breakfast for the first half hour of your 2 hour podcast, right? So there's still a lot of podcasts out there, and it's because there's really not a lot of program directors to save them from themselves. And even with a show like Smartless that does really well, that show needs a program director. They're talking over each other quite often. So those are some of the things that I brought over from radio that I really understood. And the other one is sound. I've always been so lucky to work with an engineer who was like, what's going on with the transmitter? How's it sound? Is it crisp? Is it clean? And the number of people who turn on microphones in an echoey room, sound that is inconsistent. I got to episode 4 of my podcast before I went running back to a radio producer to say, you've got to help me make this sound better in the car so that this is a nicer listen. And so we are blessed in radio to have had all these wonderful people and tools, a promo department, a marketing department, an engineering department, and a sales department. But when you're on your own, you don't have
all of them.
Yeah. And so you really do need to go back and lean on people to do it. I mean, podcasters, it's only recently we've been able to get a call on the air. I was lucky enough to have one of these PBX boxes that I helped myself to from the radio station on the way out the door that allowed me to get phone calls.
By the way, people that are actually just listening to this, what you held up is just a basic box with a few dials on it, but it allows you to take phone calls, eh?
Absolutely. I might be still the last one with a landline. But back in 2016, when I started my show, I just wanted to make it so that a radio executive could call me from their desk and I could bring them on to my podcast.
But in podcasts, you're really cutting out a small slice, aren't you? And really hitting it hard. Like, you have to know what that audience is. You're not going for general.
Absolutely. I mean, if your podcast is about everything, it's really about nothing. And so riches in the niches, as we like to say. And so you don't really want a big audience. You want the right audience. So when people say, what's your podcast about? It's about broadcasting, or broadcast and podcast as it is now. But I know exactly who's listening to the show. And they say, well, how do you know exactly that these people are interested in broadcast and podcast? Because why would they listen to this blather if they weren't interested in this subject matter? So, you know, the more niche a podcast is, the better it is to connect with people and to actually make money. So I've actually struggled to get money in for podcasts that have 100,000 downloads a month because they're bringing on guests every week and it's pretty general, but yeah, you're dining out on personality. However, you know, if it's about basket weaving, or if it's about, you know, the outdoors or something quite niche, it's a lot easier to monetize because Mountain Equipment Co-op wants to be a part of that show.
Yeah, right. And they can understand it, and they understand who's listening and why. Now, in the world of podcasting, I see so many people that, yeah, they're having a good time. It sounds kind of fun. They're having yucks between two different hosts, maybe. Geez, I don't know if they really understand audience.
Well, when it comes to audience, I think a lot of people want a concrete number. So why do we measure audience? Often it's for advertisers. It's a piece of currency that can be used to exchange money between the ads and the media. So if you're in radio, you're using PPM. Well, let's talk about that technology for a little bit. Mm. Are we really sure that a few hundred meters are going to give us the proper numbers for people who are actually listening? No. And we know it doesn't really work very well, but somehow advertisers are comfortable dining out on that number. And when it comes to podcast, we actually do have some solid data. And the numbers that will come back might be in the hundreds, might be in the thousands, but we're really only given two pieces of data back. One of them is the IP address. And from that, we can sort of deduce where the person has downloaded this episode from. And we also know the device. It could be a computer. It could be a phone. The phone could be an iOS phone for Apple. It could be an Android. And what app was used? Well, it could have been Overcast. It could have been Apple Podcasts. It could have been Spotify. And so from that, we are able to gather some stuff. And then if you go inside Apple and Spotify, you can actually see two other nice numbers. TSL, your audience is going to know that that's time spent listening. And we can see how far people got through the episode in Apple and Spotify. But again, that's a smaller chunk of the audience. That's not every download. Not every app is going to give that information back. So yeah, we're dealing with different numbers. And then the ad people are like, well, that's 208. The cum of CKNW is a million. So yeah, we know which one we're, you know, they'll use those numbers against you. And remember that number, that download, I said, you know, if it's a few hundred, you have to have listened to at least a minute for it to count as a certified download, as opposed to YouTube. Like, you can just click play on YouTube. That's a one. So it can be influenced by bots. You got to be very careful with some of these numbers. It's people want to think of it all as, you know, one big, you know, one sort of set number. It's not. It's a pile of fruit. You're counting apples and oranges.
Absolutely. Do the ad agencies get podcasting yet in our country?
No, they don't.
Okay, so what has to happen here?
Well, in Canada, I think by nature we play it very safe. We're fairly conservative, easygoing bunch. The budgets are kind of set, and it takes a little bit of engagement and adventure to go into the podcast space. Most of the time I've had discussions with ad agencies, they're not very educated on the technology and how it works. I think that falls on podcasters, but I mean, podcasters are, you know, we're pretty independent people, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how much time somebody at an agency really wants to spend working with a podcast that's about basket weaving in order to, you know, move a few baskets. It takes time. It takes phone calls. It takes engagement. It takes a special creative. So for instance, one of the things I do at the Sound Off Media Company is I voice a lot of podcast ads because I know how to voice podcast ads. You can't take the radio ad and just put it in without blowing people's ears off and people going, that's not a very nice experience. Podcast, it's often a headphone listen as opposed to, you know, being in the car. You need to have a different sound level. You need to have a personable and warm read, which is why people call me, and I'm thankful for that. but it is totally different. And from that, when you need new creative, like a host read ad, we have to come up with talking points for podcasters. So these are just some of the pain points that are inside an ad agency. However, those who do get involved with a podcast, you will find some incredible results that, you know, and this is another thing. Podcasting is very trustworthy as a medium. Radio is very trustworthy as a medium. There's some real people behind it. And yet these ad agencies are all pouring their money into the social media tech companies, which they have no trust for, but they absolutely love the numbers that comes back from them.
Right.
So we can sometimes get addicted to the currency that are given. Oh, look, 100,000 impressions. Well, what does that mean? Because I'm scrolling so fast anyways, and I never cared in the first place. You know, it's always been very difficult to draw a line back to audio. How can you tell that this radio ad worked? And often it works like the records that we hear on the radio. It's frequency. You know, how many times does it take before people are familiar with a song? Well, it's a few hundred. And that's why buying frequency and a lot of possibilities with ads on the radio, that stuff works. Buy 30s. We're going to pile them in there. That's good. People are going to remember it. However, in podcasting, we don't have that much inventory. So let's make it a nice minute and a half warm read by the host to really endorse and sell a product. And that host read ad has been the most effective so far in podcasting's 20-year history.
But would you say that audience is a more dedicated audience with a podcast, a more passionate audience?
Yes, absolutely. And trust, I think, is the operative word that really
Trust,
comes in.
engaged is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. And friendship. So let's look at what somebody had to go through to get your show. They had to physically download it. They had, that means occupying space on the phone. Occupying someone's hard drive space, like 40 meg worth, that's pretty valuable. And then giving up 40 minutes of time, perhaps, or 30 minutes or whatever it is, to listen from end to end to this individual show, that's a pretty big piece of dedication. And to do it on demand when they can, right? And they've also discovered it. So they probably likely searched for it as well. So there's a lot of things that went into going to find the show. This we're not getting hit. We don't have 15 choices on the radio. You have 4 million podcasts to choose from. So it's there's a lot of that people go through in order to engage with your show.
Yeah. Tell me about your business and where you're going. In light of all that we've talked about here, where do you see the future for you?
And that's something that I've been really struggling with over the last probably the last year, as changes have really been made. It's so much easier to make this connection. It's so much easier for people to be doing podcasts on their own, but it's harder for them to be doing great podcasts. The tools are all there now with AI coming in to be able to just edit a show without actually, looking at the audio waves that you and I might have had to have, come across in a newsroom. You can now just take the transcript, trim the transcript, and, edit the show yourself. It's all very visual. There's a lot of, I like to say assisted intelligence, not necessarily artificial intelligence, but assisted intelligence to get people to, grab the clips and litter social media with the highlights from their show. So it's become a very, very noisy space. And maybe, 10 years ago, it was like, I'm going to need somebody to really help me with the technology for this. Now we're at a point where people think they know how it all works and they'll do sort of an incomplete job with it and feel that they're out there anyway. So it's a very, very, very noisy space. Also, the advent of, I don't want to say the advent of video, but video podcasting and the rise of people using video has made the business more expensive. And so people do need a form of video in some capacity. You actually don't need video, but a lot of people feel that they need video. And so that's led to some things around my office. Well, we're going to have to get a better camera. And we should probably clean up the my room behind me. We should also probably, put on a shirt and tie before we make appearances on video.
No, you don't need
Okay.
that.
But I had thought, oh, okay, I'm gonna have to shave as well. But these are all considerations. And when you start to deal with the two big ones, I think, which is YouTube and Spotify, who are really vying for that video piece of pie. And a lot of people want to have video success. Yeah, you have to start playing by their rules, and they make it hard for you to succeed. I mean, you have to make a decision. Do you want to be a podcaster or do you want to be a YouTuber? And but do you want to be able to use podcasts or do you want to be able to use YouTube to promote your podcast? Well, that's another conversation. So what I find is that what was once fairly turnkey with a number of podcasts, we now have to break out into bigger strategies. So we've got 70 podcasts that need 70 bigger strategies than we had before. And so that's the challenge that I'm facing now is coming up with the time to make sure that all those strategies are aligned.
But as you face these challenges, one thing I have to commend you for is you do reach out and share your wisdom. And that's great because there's a lot of things that we don't know.
Yeah, I feel bad for people because I made a lot of mistakes when I started. I spent probably a year. I didn't know that. Like, what was I doing on SoundCloud? And somebody helped me. It was Mark Ramsey, actually, who was a radio consultant. He said, "What are you doing on SoundCloud? It's just a bunch of bots. They're not counting properly." I said, "Oh, okay. So how do we count properly?" And then we learned how to, get into metrics. And I've got four metric services, which does all the counting. Because what's a radio program director do? They love numbers. They can deduce and make decisions based on numbers. And that's what I do. In fact, I even make my numbers public for a few podcasts, including the Sound Off podcast. People can go and look at my numbers. Got nothing to hide. I want you to learn from it. And I want, if you know, it's going to make the space better. And if we can all get closer and on the same page, we will be able to speak to those ad agencies and reap the rewards that I know we can provide advertisers.
And the Sound Off podcast is a must, I would say. I'm saying it is really a go-to place for those that want to see and feel how things are done.
I just realized I'm in year 9, and I feel like I'm adding a chapter to the book every week. Yeah. And we add another chapter every week to see where it goes and what we're learning. I used to promote episodes going back about 3 years because I could. And a lot of it was relevant, but I'm finding that we need to really sort of keep it a little bit less evergreen because so many new things are coming in. I don't know that I can go back and promote something from 3 years ago because I think that technology has sailed. So we are moving into some really, really new territory with podcasting to the point where if you just have a YouTube show, it's a YouTube show. But people are calling it a podcast. It's not a podcast, but people are calling it that, right?
I like the term show better than podcast. Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. This has been wonderful. We'll have to do it again when I'm further into my podcasting and my learning experience because I'm right at the mistake level right now.
Oh, we'll get you past those mistakes super, super fast. Just keep listening and reach out. Like, that's another thing. If nobody understands, just ask me. I'm happy to answer the question free. It's not like I'm going to charge you or anything. Because again, we're all in this together.
The Sound Off podcast is a great listen for those interested in all aspects of music, broadcasting, podcasting, and how the business works. As for understanding next steps in this country's digital media landscape, Matt Kundel himself, a must follow for those hoping to succeed.
Broadcast Chronicles is written and hosted by Bruce Claggett. Music, Follow Your Heart via Upbeat. Graphic design, Creative Shovel. I'm Sarah McKenzie. Subscribe to Broadcast Chronicles wherever you download your favorite podcasts. This has been a BFC Communications production.